Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hoping you are having a very pleasant Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We have been going through an article titled The Good News of Repentance, written by a man named Brian D. Garner, who works with the LDS Church's Correlation Department. And as we mentioned before, the Correlation Department fulfills a very important role in Mormonism in that these are the guys and gals that go through these manuals, and they're the ones that are responsible for the curriculum that Mormons do read. And what makes that job so important is these manuals that come out are supposed to be vetted by the First Presidency of the Church. That's what Mormons are told. And he happens to work in this department, so we have to assume that Mr. Garner has a pretty good handle of what Mormon doctrine really entails, or at least what Mormons are supposed to believe as members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When we saw the title of this article, The Good News of Repentance, knowing the definition of repentance in Mormonism, which is basically what? Stop sinning.
Mm-hmm.
If you're truly repentant, you will stop sinning. And as we've demonstrated so far through the past broadcast, this involves the abandonment of all sins, not just some sins. This is why when you ask a Latter-day Saint if they know for sure whether or not they are forgiven of their sins, they don't normally answer yes to that question, which means they must know in their heart that they have not yet met the requirements of true repentance as it has been laid down by their church. Now, in this article, The Good News of Repentance, he says on page 42,
"The importance of repentance is better understood when we realize that it is the key that unlocks the blessings of the Savior's atoning sacrifice. He told his Nephite disciples, quote, 'Nothing entereth into the Father's rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith, and the repentance of their sins.'" 3 Nephi 27:19.
Now let me comment on that, because when he says the importance of repentance is better understood when we realize that it is the key that unlocks the blessings of the Savior's atoning sacrifice. Mormons love to talk about the atonement. How many times when we're having a conversation with a Latter-day Saint, they always want to talk about the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they do believe in a version of the atonement. But as he has said here, what Mr. Garner has said, that it's repentance that unlocks the blessings of the atonement. In other words, you don't get the benefits of the atonement until you have truly repented. A Mormon can talk about the atonement all they want. It has nothing to do with them personally unless they have fulfilled the requirement of repentance as defined by the LDS Church. That's the big question, folks. How many Mormons have really done that? If we cannot find a Latter-day Saint that has truly met the requirement of quote-unquote true repentance, then how many Mormons can we say are going to be benefited by Christ's atonement? None of them will be. So to talk about the atonement, it means virtually nothing unless when we are talking to the Mormon, we say to them, have you the blessings of the atonement right now?
And this whole thing is dealing with the celestial kingdom. If a person wants to be exalted, if a person wants to receive true eternal life, then repentance is going to have to be done, which is abandonment of the sin, or you're left with the terrestrial or telestial kingdoms.
He goes on to quote from the Book of Mormon, and Mr. Garner says that he told his Nephite disciples, quote, "Nothing entereth into the Father's rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins." Yesterday, we were reading several quotations from Spencer Kimball, the 12th president of the Mormon Church. And this concurs with what Kimball said. It's not an abandonment of some sins. It's an abandonment of all your sins. And I feel it's necessary to say again, we are not downplaying the desire of the faithful Latter-day Saint to want to abandon all their sins. I think all of us would want to abandon our sins because we would feel that that would certainly honor our God. The practicality, though, of abandoning all our sins, that's another matter. So though we're not saying that Mormons are evil because they haven't abandoned all their sins, certainly we're not saying that, because then we would have to say that we also are evil because we have not abandoned all our sins, and that's not what we're implying at all. We're merely saying that if this is the requirement for a Latter-day Saint in order to experience the benefits of exaltation as they understand it, the celestial kingdom, the being with their families forever, and all the perks that come with it, are they meeting that requirement? That's a simple question. That's all we're really asking here. I don't think Mr. Garner has, and he's writing the article.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Spencer Kimball did, and he wrote The Miracle of Forgiveness. But this is what they will tell us. And I think it's important that when we're talking to our Mormon friends, that we try to carry these words and their definitions to their logical conclusions. Otherwise, we're not communicating with them. And if I'm going to talk with a Latter-day Saint, certainly I want to be able to communicate ideas with them. Because if their ideas are certainly true, and of course more superior to my ideas, I would be only correct in abandoning my false ideas and embracing the truth that Mormons have. But if it's not truth, then I would hope that they would abandon what they're being told. And I think in only abandoning what they've been told and trusting what the Bible actually says on this issue, can they have what the author says is the good news of repentance. Anything more than that, it becomes bad news, and as we've seen so far, it certainly does. Now, when they talk about they have to repent of all their sins, ask the Latter-day Saint, what does all mean in this context? Does it mean some?
No.
Of course it doesn't. When your leaders say that you must abandon sin, are they implying you should only abandon some? No. They are saying you must abandon all of them. And only when you abandon all your sins in true repentance will you hope to receive forgiveness.
And your favorite question when we're talking about this issue is, how are you doing at that?
How are you doing at that? Because you'll get a lot of Mormons that will say, well, I'm trying, but trying is not sufficient. We've already read that from Spencer Kimball. He made it very clear that it might be noble to try, but to try and fail is certainly not meeting the requirements. And anybody who tells you that they're trying to do anything is really telling you that they've been failing at the attempt. Because people normally don't say, I'm trying, when they've succeeded at the task. They just don't do that. And yet we hear many Mormons often saying that they are trying to do this. He goes on in the article.
He says, he's quoting from Moses 6:57 in the Pearl of Great Price. He says, teach it unto your children that all men everywhere must repent, or they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God or dwell in his presence.
Now, where do you dwell in God's presence in the context of Mormonism? Only in the celestial
right.
kingdom. You must achieve exaltation if you hope to dwell in the presence of God. The only way you can dwell in the presence of God, as we've seen, is that you must be successful at your repentance. If you're not successful at it, you will not dwell in the presence of God. You will not be with your family throughout all eternity. You will not become a God yourself. It's as simple as that. And yet, how many Mormons are still hoping to reach that? But yet in their heart, they know they've come far from attaining that goal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the guilt factor that must play in the lives of many Latter-day Saints who want so badly and love their families, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they love their family so much, and Mormonism has taught them that if you do all these things, you can be with your family, and yet they know in their heart, I'm not meeting the requirements.
Well, and we've talked about this before, but Utah does have a high state of depression. We have the one of the highest per capita usages of Prozac, and I'm just thinking maybe the religion has something to do with that, because if 60% of all the people here claim to be Latter-day Saints, and on the outside, Mormons are happy, and they're very nice people, there's no doubt, but you just wonder if it's eating away at them at what they're not able to accomplish because they can't know that they're doing everything they're supposed to. And twice a year, their leaders get up in Salt Lake City, and they will give them the old, you better do it and do it better. Yep. And it's just, it's an impossible gospel, as we keep saying.
He goes on to quote DNC 131 and 132.
Yeah, he says, this principle with the promise is certain. Quote, I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven.
Now, do you think in that context, Eric, that it's talking about only keeping some of the commandments?
No.
No.
In fact, let me give you a quote from Teachings of Presence of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, page 43. Let me give this to you because what you just asked, he'll answer. He says, in his preface to Modern Revelation, the Lord outlined what is one of the most difficult requirements in true repentance. For some, it is the hardest part of repentance because it puts one on guard for the remainder of his life. He quotes from DNC 131 and 32, and he says, this scripture is most precise. First, one repents. Having gained that ground, he must then live the commandments of the Lord to retain his vantage point. This is necessary to secure complete forgiveness.
So if a person has not truly repented of all their sins and is not keeping all of the commandments, they cannot hope that they will be forgiven. This is what it says. I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repents, as we've already looked at, abandons their sin and does the commandments, and as we've seen, keeps all of the commandments, those are the ones that the Lord shall forgive. If you've not met that requirement, you cannot hope to receive forgiveness. Do you see how different Mormonism is from New Testament Christianity?
And now the idea of mercy is brought in. He's going to quote from DNC chapter 3, verse 10. On Monday, I think we need to go into some quotes on mercy. What exactly does that mean in Mormonism?
You're exactly right. On Monday, we're going to be looking at what is the definition of Mormon mercy.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS loved ones or friends with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have links to an active blog site, as well as dozens of articles and videos that will help educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, we can do that too. Contact MRM to schedule one of our PowerPoint presentations at MRM.org or call our office at 801-572-2153. That's 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.